Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a lot of great information that I'm going to share with you on the call today that will help you to get into action to increase your results by leveraging technology tools. The call today will include 30 minutes of content and up to 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share when, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. And join us out in the Facebook group now. And go out there now and post a message to say hello. And while you're there, please share a message to let me know one of the technology tools that you're working on implementing right now. And by the way, today's topic is on opt-in forms to generate appointment leads. So we'll dig into that topic in a few minutes here and get into more details. And another thing to think about here as we get started is what are you doing right now to generate leads in your business? What can you do to utilize an opt-in form, for instance? So we're going to talk specifically around generating appointment leads and some strategies for that and help you to get into action to start booking more appointments, because technology is a great tool in helping you get into action to produce results through through technology tools like Time Trade, for instance. Or if you're setting up an opt-in form, you can put up an opt-in form on your website that will give you an easy way to get into action to produce results through that. And the other thing to think about here is that, part of it is having an intention around the type of appointments that you want to set. You want to think about what technology tools, what focus you can have that's going to allow you to be able to produce the results that you want in terms of scheduling appointments. Now, as we get started here, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 90-day program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales online. There are 12 modules of content. Today we're on Module 6, which is on opt-in forms to generate appointment leads. So I want to have you go out to the Facebook group in a couple minutes. But first of all, I want to talk about the concept of developing multiple strategies to generate appointments online. I have a focus myself around generating multiple appointments. In fact, let me just share with you a little bit of my strategy in terms of the way that I use an appointment setting strategy in my business. I like to do things based on a cycle. I'm very much a systems-oriented person. So I'm always thinking about what can I do on a cycle. And oftentimes, one of my big focuses is around planning out the month. So I'm looking at what can I do to plan, the month that's coming up. And on that basis, that helps me figure out what can I do that's going to help me to book appointments for the month. So every month, I like to implement at least one strategy that's going to help to book appointments for that month. And part of what you have to do is you have to look at what are your opportunities for booking appointments, whether you're picking up the phone and calling people, whether you're going out to networking events and meeting people and doing follow-up calls to book appointments or sending out emails to book appointments, whether you're using social media to reach out to people to book appointments, whether you are the other thing to think about in terms of appointments are also one-to-many appointments, doing webinars, teleseminars, and other opportunities like that. But I like to look at what can I do where I can send out an email and I can book appointments. And so each month, typically, I'll send out at least one email where I offer an opportunity to book an appointment. And some of the characteristics or some of the components of that are that I – I give it a name. So when I'm scheduling the appointment, like I'll just give you an example. This month I sent out an email, I think it was about a week and a half ago, and I offered the opportunity to schedule a leverage strategy session. And I think out of that I probably got about 7 booked appointments. Sometimes I'll ask people to email me back and then I'll follow up with a message. Other times I'll just include a time trade link directly. I'm kind of reaching a point in my business where I've got so many things on my plate, I want to make sure that everything I do is leveraged to the hilt when it comes to technology. So if I can send out an email with a link to book an appointment directly on my calendar using TimeTrade, then that requires zero amount of my time to book the appointment. And I like that. I like having zero time invested in being able to accomplish something. Now, I did have to write the email. I did have to go in my system and send it out. It takes probably about 45 minutes to write an email like that, and then probably about another 15 to 20 minutes to schedule and send out that email. So 1 hour of work invested, and then that email just reaps rewards. And usually most of those rewards come in about 24 to 48 hours. I'll book a number of appointments out of that, and then I'll occasionally get some to trickle in over time. But here's the bigger idea. The bigger idea is that I train my list on a regular basis. See, in email marketing, this our call today isn't specifically about email marketing. I'm just using this as a tool or a technique to talk about our topic, which is opt-in forms to generate appointment leads. And even TimeTrade itself is not, quote-unquote, an opt-in tool. It's not an opt-in form that's going to build your email list. But I want you to understand the overall strategy here and the reasons to implement this strategy and the different ways that you can implement it. So, for instance, if you're doing an opt-in form, the purpose is to build your list. If you're just sending out a TimeTrade link to your email list, they've already opted in. They're already on your list. You're communicating to them. Now you're just driving to the appointment to schedule an appointment. So the importance here is that you need to keep a bottom line focus on what are your tools, what are your strategies, what are your techniques to book appointments. So first of all, start off with a goal. How many appointments do you want to set per month? Like for me, if I have around, probably a minimum of 5 appointments per week, then that's going to work out probably pretty well. With everything that's going on in my life and on my plate, if I have 5 appointments per week, that's 20 per month, then that's going to probably go pretty well. And I can ramp it up from there. If I want to have 10 appointments per week, then I'm going to have to work a little bit harder. I'm going to have to send out some extra emails, implement some additional strategies, then I can book more appointments. But at a minimum, I want to be having 5 appointments per week. So you have to think for yourself, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you holding yourself accountable? Do you have an easy way to keep track of that? So the concept here that I implement around setting the appointments is to send an email and then book appointments out of it. And I don't know really how many I'm going to get. Like sometimes I'll send out an email and I'll get 20 people book an appointment. I think one time I sent an email, I'm trying to think which one it was. I've gotten a big response. And again, you have to think about your specific audience. But I've got a big response to like whenever I offer like a Facebook marketing strategy session. One time I did one on creating quote images. I think I call it like a custom image strategy session or something like that. And I had about 20 people sign up. And so I did this leverage strategy session and I got about 7 people. It wasn't as many as I wanted, but here's the thing. Results take as long as they take. So you can't judge a strategy just from doing it one time. And that's the reason why I continue to change and shift strategies, because like if I just had a generic sign up for a strategy session and every month I sent out an email that said sign up for a strategy session with me, then I probably would get like 2 or 3 per month and that would be it. But what I do is there's a marketing to the actual appointment. There's a marketing to the appointment itself. And so the more that you describe this appointment, you bring this session to life about the value that you're going to deliver, the more people are going to be interested in wanting to book an appointment with you, right? This is all about marketing. This is about making it not only palatable, but interesting and fascinating. Eric Laufholm talks about the importance of value versus time. So there's like a teeter-totter, and at one end you've got maybe it's price, and the other end it's value. And you have to realize there's a value to an appointment. Now, the appointment, for the most part, is free, and some people do charge for appointments. One of my clients charges like $59 for an appointment, so he doesn't do free appointments. If you want to book an appointment with him, it's $59. But if you're doing a free session, then there's really nothing they have to lose except their time, right? If they're going to be on the phone with you for 45 minutes, they're going to assume, or people may make an assumption that that might be 45 minutes of wasted time. So that's what you're trying to overcome, is this feeling that people are just going to get on the phone with you and it's going to be a waste of time. So in order to avoid that, you have to talk about the benefits of what they're going to get from this appointment with you. And really, this leads us right back into our topic today on opt-in forms to generate appointment leads, because if you have an opt-in page where people can go out and schedule an appointment with you, then you have to talk about the benefits. You have to name it, tell people what they're going to get, and then you know, share the benefits of what they're going to, how they're going to benefit. And there may be a number of different benefits that people may get from this session with you. Before we get into the benefits, first of all, let me pop out onto the Facebook page. I was a little distracted at the beginning of the call because I realized I had misnumbered the image that I put out of the Facebook group. It says Module 2 opt-in forms, but it's actually Module 6. And I was trying to figure out a way to replace that image, and unfortunately Facebook doesn't allow you to, and we've already got 11 comments on it, so I'm kind of hosed on that. So I'll just have to let that go as a mistake that happens sometimes. But let's go ahead and set a comment goal, and since we're already up to like 11 plus, let's make the goal 40 today. So we have a comment goal of 40 comments in the group, so keep them coming. I'll come out there and read your comments in a little bit. Yeah, we're actually up to 26 now. Great job. So so let's run through some of the different types of names that you can give an appointment. And you can take these and you can modify them and play with them a little bit, but this is just kind of a starter list for you. And again, you can follow along in the notes. You can check your email that I sent out earlier today. And it's got all the notes here that I'm sharing. So under appointment descriptions, it says strategy session, discovery session, health consultation, health assessment, marketing strategy session, financial review, and insurance assessment. So you have to think about, for your particular business, and think about what type of appointment that you can have. Like, and let's just, I'll just focus in on a couple of folks that are in the group today. All right, so here's Roy. Roy Rasmussen is on the call. Roy is a copywriter, a freelance writer. So Roy could do a copywriting strategy session, for instance. That would be pretty easy for him to do. Alan's on the line. Alan's into real estate, and he's also he's a sales trainer for Eric Laufham. So let's just focus on the sales training piece. Alan, you could do a sales strategy session. That would be an easy one to do. Susan Joy Schlieff is here. She's a visual marketing expert. So Susan could do a visual marketing assessment. And maybe it's specific, like she could focus on like, you know, images you're posting on social media or a website. And here's the thing. So you could take this concept and you could tweak it. So she could do like a social media visual marketing assessment. She could do a website visual marketing assessment. She could do an information product visual marketing assessment. So you take an idea and then you break it down into multiple concepts, and each one of those might be ones that you do over time. And she could also filter that between some of the other things that she offers as well, because Susan also consults with clients on PowerPoint. So she could offer a PowerPoint presentation critique. Ooh, there you go, PowerPoint critique. So critique is another word that you could include in there. And here's the thing. When we're talking about appointments, the bottom line is the purpose of the appointment. Really a couple different purposes of the appointment, but one of the purposes of the appointment is to build trust and rapport. This might be the first time that you're talking to someone. Maybe this is the third or fourth time that you're talking to someone. Every time you talk to somebody over the phone, there's a need to build trust and rapport, and you could advance the relationship during that call. Another purpose of doing the appointment is to deliver value. Even in a free session, there should be a focus on delivering value, which is going to tie back to the benefits. It's how you market the appointment to start with. If there's no benefits, people aren't going to show up. They're not going to see the value in it. The third reason is that it's a sales presentation. And at the end of the appointment, you're going to make some type of an offer. Now, people have different approaches in terms of what type of offer that they make at the end of a an appointment like this. Let me give you my take on it, and let me give you an alternate perspective too. So my take on it is usually I tie the offer to the appointment. So for instance, if I offer a, let's just call it a LinkedIn strategy session, then at the end of my LinkedIn strategy session, I'm probably going to share an opportunity to sign up for my LinkedIn training program. There's a natural fit. Our whole conversation is going to be talking about LinkedIn. I'm going to share some ideas. I'm going to gather information. So it's a natural next step for me to lead toward the LinkedIn training program. Now, you have to take a look for yourself at your own business and think about what do you have to offer? How many products and services do you have? Now, for some people, maybe only have two products, and that's it. So then it's a matter of, well, how many appointments can I do? How many ways can I slice this and dice this and have conversations around this that will lead people toward signing up for a product? Maybe you're in a business and representing a company that has thousands of products, and there's a lot of different approaches that you could take. Well, then you're going to have to pick and choose. You're going to have to think about what are the things that people are more likely to purchase? What are the things that are more interesting? What's a kind of a hot topic that people would want to talk about? And then use that as an opportunity to drive toward those specific offers. So that's one way, is where you have the appointment tied to a specific offer. There's another way to do it, which is that you have a variable offer. And what that basically means is that when you start the call, you don't necessarily know what you're going to offer, but you're prepared to share one of multiple opportunities. And notice I said one of multiple opportunities. It's also possible you could make several offers, but let me just give you this this caveat here. Typically what people say is that the confused mind doesn't buy. The confused mind doesn't buy. What that means is if you overwhelm people with options, they won't make any decision at all. It will be too complex. And you also have to take into account people's personality types. Like, some people are decision makers. You know, they're dominant, they're focused. They're going to make a decision, yay or nay, in the moment. Other people are more of like the technical, analytical people. It's like, you know, if I get three options, I'm probably going to want to take some time to think about it. I want to go look at a website. I want to read the information. It's going to take me some time to decide. So you kind of have to know who you're talking to know what their decision-making process might be. But it's possible that you start the appointment without necessarily knowing what you're going to offer, and then based on their needs, then you present the best possible opportunity for them. That kind of takes a little bit more creativity and a little bit more flexibility in your presentation in order to get to that point. So, but that is a possibility. So what I would recommend is maybe experiment with it. Try out some different methods and see what works best for you. The other thing is, if I get to the end of appointment and I'm talking to somebody and based on what we talked about, I don't feel like it's a good fit for them, I might still share it, but I'm probably not going to press hard to encourage them to sign up. In fact, I might use language like, based on what we've discussed, what I was going to share with you at the end of this call probably doesn't apply right now. But let me take a few minutes to go over the details and explain it to you, so if your situation changes in the future, then it might be something you'd be interested in pursuing. So I might just put that out there up front to let them know that, hey, this is something you may be interested in, but I'm not expecting you to, you know, take action today. So, because otherwise people can feel harangued, harassed, manipulated, and you don't want that to happen. So if somebody just told you, you know, they went through a bankruptcy, they're going through a divorce, they got this, they got that, you know, you don't want to be pressing hard for them to sign up for your product or program. Sometimes you just need to give people space. And I think you have to be a good judge of other people and what their situations are to know when, you know, something is a good fit for them right now or not. Now, you could try to qualify people in advance before the conversation. You could have them fill out a survey or something like that and gather information. And a lot of people like to do that. But if you're just coming to the call without any prior information, then you really have to ask probing questions and gather that information as you're on the call. All right, let's talk a little bit about creating opt-in forms, because I think there's a technology aspect to this that confuses people. So first of all, in order to make this strategy work of using an opt-in form to generate appointment leads, you need an opt-in form. To create an opt-in form, you need an email marketing system. It's the email marketing system that will create the HTML code for the opt-in form that you can embed on your website. So a couple things you have to think about are, where am I going to put this opt-in form? Is it just going to be a web page on my normal website? Am I going to buy a new domain and have this as kind of a standalone web page? Am I going to create a squeeze page on my site? Like it's on my main website where people can go and fill out the form. So that's an option there. But you would and decide how much information you want. Like the typical opt-in form is probably going to ask for name and email. Might also ask for phone number. Those are the basic details. Now, by the way, if you do want to qualify people, one of the options to gather information after they opt in is to give them a link to a survey. In fact, I was just in utilizing SurveyMonkey today. Kind of a funny side story. I don't schedule a lot of one-on-one appointments with people because my calendar is full with appointments over the phone and trainings and everything else like that. But periodically, I get people in the local area who want to get together and meet. And sure enough, I had somebody contact me by private message today that said, hey, let's get together for lunch. And so I started the process, and I remembered one of the reasons I don't like doing this, because it's this process of having to go back and forth and figure out, where do you want to meet? What restaurant do you want to go to? And here's the way my brain works. I started typing out the message, and after about three sentences, my brain stopped, and I said, you know what? I don't need to do this in a private message on Facebook. What I can do is I can create a survey on SurveyMonkey to ask all the questions that I want so I can determine what restaurant to meet this person at for lunch. And so instead of what I would normally do is just try to work, hash it out through a private message on Facebook, I logged into my SurveyMonkey account, and within about 20 minutes, I had what I call my lunch selection tool created. So I created a brand new survey, and it asked questions like geographic location. I gave them like three cities in the local area and asked them to rank it. SurveyMonkey has actually updated their tools now. They've added some new sweet little features, including the ability to rank a number of different choices. So I put three cities, and they can select 1, 2, 3 as far as their preference. I also put an option of, you know, kind of what's your favorite food, or, you know, what type of restaurants do you like to eat at. And so I created this thing, and then I went back in the private message, and instead of sending my original message, I said, excellent. Please take a moment and complete my lunch selection tool. Here you go. And I included the link. So I'm waiting for him to fill out the form and respond back to me. But that's the way that my brain thinks, is how can I leverage technology to save me time? Because I could have probably spent an hour going back and forth and having, you know, messages trying to figure it out, and probably not have come up with as good of an option as it'll come up if they take the time to fill out the form. So, you know, technology can be used in a number of different ways. And I think you have to put on your creative hat from time to time. And when you find yourself spinning your wheels or wasting time or not accomplishing the goals that you want, to say, how can I apply technology here so I can create more leverage? And I'm using that example there with the lunch survey, because there's probably a lot of things that where you could use technology that you would just not even think about using it. Like, you know, in all my years of, you know, getting together with people, I never once thought to create a survey. But for some reason today, it just kind of hit me. Hey, you could create a survey. And so that's what I did. So anyway, a little sidetrack conversation there. So let's talk about email marketing systems for a moment. So different email marketing systems have different capabilities for creating opt-in forms. Infusionsoft has one way of doing it. One Shopping Cart has a different way. iContact has a different way. But ultimately, in the end, once you follow the process to create a form, you're going to get some type of probably lengthy HTML code, and you need to copy that and paste that onto your web page. Now, if you're using tools to create a squeeze page like OptimizePress, Kajabi, or LeadPages.net, there may be some other options where you put your code in and then it takes it and it reformats the code to put the form onto the page, in which case there may be some additional things that you have to do to make it work. So, you know, just getting the opt-in form on an opt-in page can be a little bit of a hassle at times. You know, getting it, you know, making it look pretty, making it look exactly as you want. I mean, that in and of itself, even though it's kind of a simple part, it actually can be kind of complex in the end to try to really get it done the way that you want. All right, let's talk about how to follow up with someone who requests an appointment. So let's take this from a couple different angles. First of all, if you're using a system like TimeTrade and you sent out a link and someone schedules an appointment, then really at that point the job is done. They have scheduled the appointment. That appointment now appears on your calendar. You're good to go. Now, one of the challenges that I found sometimes is I have experienced where sometimes an appointment will disappear from my calendar. I don't know why it happens. Now I don't have anybody else accessing my calendar unless my cat walked across my keyboard and accidentally deleted an appointment. I'm not sure what would be causing that. Sometimes, like with TimeTrade, people have a link where they can go in and reschedule an appointment. So that's happened sometimes. I went in the morning and I had an appointment on my calendar. I went in an hour later, the appointment was gone. And I realized the person had rescheduled. So what I like to do is I create a spreadsheet, and anytime somebody books an appointment, I add it to my spreadsheet. And so I have a historical reference outside of my calendar of booked appointments. And that's actually beneficial for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that not every appointment that is scheduled is actually run. Some appointments will be rescheduled, and some appointments will be no-shows. Like, I'll give you an example. Today I had 4 booked appointments on my calendar. And I think all except one were booked through TimeTrade. And the other one I booked, I think, over the phone. And 3 appointments I held, and the 4th was a no-show. I called, left a message. I called, left a second message, no-show. So now I have to go and follow up with this person to reschedule the appointment. Kind of a pain, but now that has to be done. So that's one of the things, is that you have to at least keep track to know who are the no-shows so you can follow up. So I find that helpful with a spreadsheet, because then I can note a status for the appointment in my spreadsheet. Did this appointment actually happen? Do I need to reschedule? What was the result? Did I generate a sale? So there's a lot of good information that you can gather just by keeping a list of those. It also will help you in terms of keeping track of your statistics for the month. So how are you going to track how many appointments that you have in the month? Like, if you set a goal, for instance, let's say you have the same goal as me and you have a goal to have 20 appointments per month or 5 appointments per week. Well, how are you going to keep track to know whether you actually had 20 appointments or not? Do you take time to actually follow through and track your results? It's probably a good idea to have some type of a tool to keep track of your overall results. Like, if you had 10 goals during the month, you should keep track somewhere, like a spreadsheet or something else like that, to say, here was my goal and here was my actual. So you want to keep track of what your results are and compare that. So maybe your goal was to have 20 appointments for the month, but you only had 10. Now, in one particular month, that might not be a bad thing. But if it's a consistent pattern, if we take a look at your numbers month by month over the last 6 months, and you consistently underperform, like you had a goal and only, but you only had 10 appointments, then that's an issue. Either you're setting the goal too high, which if you're in sales, then that's probably not too high of a goal. In fact, you know, for some people target like 3 or 4 appointments per day, every day of the month. But you have to look at, why aren't you meeting your goal? And, you know, maybe it's because you're getting stuck doing other things that aren't a high priority. So you've got to make sure that you're focusing your time, energy, and efforts on the right activities that are going to drive your business. If you're constantly doing things that aren't generating results and you're not doing the things that would generate results, then that's a mismatch. And I have this problem too. You know, I get stuck doing things that aren't the highest priority. So I have to keep adjusting. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline to build a successful business. Building a successful business is not just a natural, normal thing to do. It requires a lot of strategic thinking, a lot of stepping back, analyzing what you're doing, making sure you're working on the right things, and making sure that you're driving activities that will generate results. And to do that on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Like if you set a goal that you want to generate $5,000 revenue in a month, and it's 3 weeks into the month and you've only generated $1,000, you know, is it realistic you're going to generate $4,000 in the remaining week? There's something, there's a disconnect there. You've got this goal, but you're not taking, you know, I'm assuming you're not taking the actions to produce that result. That's part of what you have to take a look at to see if your actions are in alignment with your goals. And while this isn't really a call on mindset or strategic planning or anything like that, I think it's relevant to think about in relation to, you know, implementing systems around booking appointments. So the other thing in terms of follow-up is it's a good idea to send reminders. I try to send reminders to people in advance of appointments. Like today, for instance, I had 4 appointments. I sent out reminders in the morning. That's probably not ideal. I think it's ideal to probably send out your reminder about a day in advance. You can't just assume that everybody's going to be on top of their email. So if you sent, like in my case, sending out an email in the morning, if somebody doesn't check their email until tomorrow, they're not going to see my email. And so reminder was unsuccessful. So if you get an email out maybe 24 hours in advance, or say 1 to 2 days in advance, that probably should work pretty effectively. The other thing is you want to allow enough time if there's a problem for them to follow up with you in order to let you know they need to reschedule. And then the other thing is after the appointment, let's say that you do have an appointment with somebody. Now afterwards, now you have some follow-up to do, right? Because, well, actually there's two conditions. You have the appointment and they signed up or they purchased or bought. The other option is if they did not purchase. So what happens? That's going to be two courses of action. If they signed up, then, you know, you have to follow up afterwards to deliver whatever they signed up for, product, service, program, business opportunity, whatever it is. If they didn't sign up, now you have follow-up. You have to decide what your follow-up is. And your follow-up could be manual or your follow-up could be automated. For instance, you could create an autoresponder series to go out over time to follow up with people. Again, looking for ways that you can leverage technology to produce more results. Okay, I'm going to pop out into the Facebook group and read some of the messages there because we're already up to, 56 messages. You guys really blew it out today. Let's see, and it looks like we've got a good mix across the board. Alan is posting quite a few. Tom's in there. Susan's in there. Lori is in here. So great job. All right, let me read some of the comments. Okay, I'm going to skip over the hello messages back and forth and jump into the content ones. Roy says, today's topic, opt-in forms to generate leads for appointments. Susan says, opt-in forms, timely topic for me since I'll have a new free report ready soon. One tool I'm looking at is a new format for opt-in forms with a full screen photo or background behind the form. Interesting. Cool. Can't wait to see it. Tom says, I'm working on my opt-in forms to capture more prospects. Good. Absolutely. Roy said, technology tools I'm working on, responsive web design, membership plugins, videos, book marketing software, and Kindle. Only that, Roy? Wow. That is quite a few things. Good job. Susan says, I was thinking of you today, Rick, while I set up a new spreadsheet to organize my marketing campaign for my new free report and the paid product that will lead to. I already have a list now of 6 people and emails who will review the free report this weekend. Good job. Yeah, you probably think anybody, anytime anybody's thinking of spreadsheets, they're probably thinking of me. I love spreadsheets. Alan says, send out email to book appointments. Yes, that is that's one of my favorite strategies. And you know, really, and I'll just share with you here. I got that idea from Eric Lofholm. Eric will periodically send out an email inviting people to schedule an appointment. Now, for Eric, what he usually does is he doesn't offer the appointment directly with himself. He'll offer it with one of the members of his team. So Eric's not necessarily looking at how can I book more appointments directly. Eric wants to do presentations. But I modeled that idea, and I liked the way that he did it, and so I started doing it. And it's just fallen into a strategy that I've done consistently month after month. And I try to get at least one email out per month to book appointments. But, you know, I might do a second email if I need to increase my results. Because here's the thing. If you want to generate more sales in your business, you need to be talking to more people. You need to have a conversation with a person over the phone where you have an opportunity to talk about your business. And there's a difference between, like, if you meet somebody at a networking event and you say, hey, let's get together and chat. That's not a sales appointment. That's a let's get together and, you know, have an open conversation and learn more about each other. And if you come to a conversation like that prepared to share your business, then there's going to be a disconnect because that person probably wasn't expecting that. So when I frame my appointments, I always frame them from the perspective of, you know, we're going to talk about you. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to create value for you. And then I will lead them to a next step. And I pre-frame that at the beginning of the call. I'll say something like, on the call today, we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. And at the end, you know, and I'll ask you some questions about your business to learn more. I'll add value in this way. And at the end of the call, I'll take a few minutes to share details about one of my programs. How does that sound? Sounds great. Excellent. Boom. And then we're into the appointment. So if you pre-frame things up front in an appointment, then people are usually super happy because it lets them know that you're going to focus on adding value, and then you'll share details about your business at the end. And that usually works very well. It's worked very well for me. Alan says, you time trade so people book their own appointments, no time invested by Rick. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that if I can use a technology tool to do something that I would otherwise have to do myself, then I have saved myself time. I don't waste a lot of time. I have days where I work, you know, sometimes 8 hours, sometimes 10 hours, sometimes 12-hour days. Today I started at, I think I started around 7 a.m., and I'll probably finish up around 10 p.m. So 7 to 12 is 5 plus 10 is 15 hours. Take out about maybe an hour for dinner. So that's about a 14-hour day that I'll have today. So that might be an average day. Sometimes I have shorter days than that. But I'm working throughout the day. So if I can save some time here and there by leveraging technology tools, then I'm going to do that. See, I'd rather spend an hour on the phone talking to somebody than spend 20 minutes trying to book an appointment, talking to them over the phone or leaving voicemail messages. So why not use a technology tool that could allow me to book an appointment? Makes sense, right? I'd rather spend my time talking and creating value than just trying to book the appointment. Tom says, I also have two email campaign systems that I need to enter more contacts. Yeah, you know, I was doing a little bit of that myself last night, Tom. I wasn't so much entering contacts into my system, but I was doing database updates, which, you know, that's one of those activities where I have to look at and I have to say, is it the best use of my time to go in and update information in my database? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I think you have to decide what level of support you want to do in your system, how much you need to do, how much you could hire somebody else to do, and then work on implementing that. So I have certain things, certain expectations that I have, and periodically I'll just have time. And something like that I generally try to do at the end of the day. My creative time is in the mornings. And so if I'm going to be writing content or preparing presentations or doing things like that, I like to try to do that in the morning. And the longer the day goes on, by the time I get to like 8, 9, or 10 o'clock at night, I'm reaching the point of being brain dead. I'm reaching that point where my creativity is on its last end for the day. And so it's much easier for me to do something like data entry and go in and update database records and look up information or things like that. So I'd rather do that at the end of the day where it doesn't really require much creativity. It's kind of like I'm doing the same thing over and over. I'm looking up a record. I'm, you know, updating information. I'm looking for something. I'm doing things like that. So kind of those tedious, time-consuming things I try to do at the end of the day. So it's a good idea to know what your – and that's not the way everybody does it, by the way. Some people, especially technical people, they're more creative at night. A lot of folks really kind of get going late at night. And sometimes, Tim Ferriss, I was listening to one of his podcasts, and he says he writes in the nighttime. Like, he'll start writing at about 10 o'clock, and he'll write till about 3 a.m. in the morning. I can't really do that. But for some people, that works. So you just have to find out what works for you and then make sure that you're scheduling time and, you know, working to get things done. Alan says, initial time investment is writing and sending out the email. Yeah, absolutely. If you use that that email appointment setting strategy, and obviously here's the thing, you got to build your list. If you don't have an email list or a very large list, then you're not going to get much of a result. And that's not to say that you shouldn't do it, because you have to train your list over time. So you've got to start when you have a small list, and then as you build your list, then people will be trained as time goes on. Susan says, I have a poorly trained email list, and then she puts a little frowny face. Well, the way you train your list is to train them. So I do specific things. In fact, I'll just I'll pull back the curtain on a strategy I'm working on this week. Here's another idea that I borrowed from somebody else. In fact, an idea that I borrowed from Eric Laufham. What's interesting about this strategy is this is a strategy that Eric no longer does. But I actually helped him implement it several years ago when I was working with him. And it's called the Product of the Month strategy. So when I worked for Eric, and this goes back about 3 years, we were looking at what strategies can we implement that will increase sales. And I forget exactly where the idea came from, but probably out of a brainstorming session, or maybe we saw somebody else doing it or something like that. But we said, let's do a product of the month. And we said, great. So what we do is create a sales page where people can go out and purchase a product or a program, a service. And I think we did that for like 6 months to a year. And we generated sales each month from it. And I think probably the only reason Eric isn't doing it now is there's nobody to do it for him necessarily. He doesn't have the energy or the focus around it. And Eric's just focused on his primary products. But I like the idea, and it's an idea that I've implemented in my own business. And it's kind of shifted and adjusted over time, but it's really, I've really come to have this strategy now where I do a product of the month. Now, I don't call it product of the month, so I don't use that terminology. I just make an offer each month. And I have a very specific system and process that I use to implement that strategy. But here's the thing. By doing a product of the month offer, I'm training my list. And each time I do that, I reinforce that behavior. Because here's the thing. If you never make offers to your list, then how can you expect anybody to purchase an offer if you never make an offer to the list? And you can't do something one time and then expect that that's the best result that you're going to get from something. You're going to get better results each time you do it. See, training comes from doing things consistently over time. This is the old, you have to be consistent in your marketing. So how do you create consistency in your marketing? Well, you come up with a strategy and you consistently implement it over time. And so for me, one of my strategies is the product of the month strategy. So pretty much every month when I begin the month, I say, what is my product of the month? And I figure that out, I plan it out, and I have that strategy implemented. So will that strategy work for you? Maybe. It does take some work, for sure. And I don't necessarily recommend doing – see, part of the value of the product of the month strategy is that you have something different every month, or at least that you rotate. So if you only have one product, then it doesn't really work to have offer the same product every single month. Because then it just creates white noise. White noise is where you're doing the same thing over and over and people just start ignoring you because it's always the same message. That's not good. Now, Alan says, start out with a goal of how many appointments that you want a month. Yeah, you know what? And let's create some accountability around this today, because I'm a firm believer in getting you guys to commit to taking action and kind of holding your feet to the fire a little bit. So what I want you to think about is, let's just say in the next 5 minutes, I want you to come up with a number of appointments that you want to have per month. And let's just say this is an ongoing goal, that every single month you want to have a certain number of appointments. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 30. And I want you to go ahead and pop that into the Facebook group and share that with me now. And I'll read out some of these a little bit later. But I just want to see where your mind is at in terms of setting appointments. Roy says set a weekly slash monthly appointment goal. Yep, absolutely. Alan says send out an email to get appointments. Response will vary. Alan says can't judge a strategy by one use. Results take as long as they take. Yes. And I would also say that, in general, your results will improve over time. So if you just send out an email once to book appointments, maybe you get two or three. But if you consistently do that over the time, maybe it bumps up to five or six. So results will generally increase over time. And, you know, it's possible that over time it may plateau, it may drop. That's where you have to kind of change it up and do things different. Maybe you have to, you know, create a video which offers an appointment, or, you know, experiment with different things. So you can't just assume that you're, I mean, this is one of the challenges of running a business. You can't just assume that what you are doing today is going to work tomorrow. It's not to say that you shouldn't try to do tomorrow what you did today, but you also may have to come up with some new strategies to implement as well. And that is learning about best practices. And that's one of the reasons you're participating in this call, is to learn what works, you know, what's possible for you. What are the things that you are not doing today that you could be doing? Alan says there is a value to an appointment. Yeah, there's a value to an appointment. And what's funny is, like one of my appointments I had today, it didn't really go according to plan. I had a script that I was going to work from, and the call got derailed like in the first 5 minutes because the person wanted to talk about a few other things that were going on. And what's interesting is, you know, we basically spent almost like an entire hour over the phone. I answered a ton of questions. I added a ton of value. I did not make an offer. And at the end, the person said, I want you to build a website for me. And number one, I wasn't expecting that. And I think that's a testament to the value of bringing value to an appointment. If you are a person who can get on the phone with somebody and deliver value to them during that conversation, then you will ultimately become indispensable to them. Ultimately. You know, if you're implementing the other strategies that I teach, like I teach a lot of different strategies and different programs that I have, writing blog posts, creating articles, creating videos, doing teleseminars, doing webinars, doing, you know, all sorts of different strategies. If you're implementing strategies to create value, if you're positioning yourself as an expert, then ultimately if you spend time with people, people are naturally going to want to take a next step with you. And they may have something in mind for that. It just depends. Alan says their only investment in a free appointment is their time. Yeah, good point. You know, if you were charging money, then they would have money invested. But in a free appointment, their only investment is the time. Alan says, talk about the benefits of making an appointment in the email. Absolutely. And I think a simple way to get started with identifying benefits is just to come up with a series of benefit statements. I like to use bullet points, and that's a good place to start. You can always expand out from there, but I like to come up with at least 3 to 5 bullet points. You know, here's how you're going to benefit. Boom, boom, boom. List your bullet points out. And you can always take that and expand out on it in the future. But here's the thing. Focus on completion, not perfection. If you're just starting off, keep it simple. You can always improve the copy in the future. And here's another secret here. And we're going to have to wrap up in a moment because I've got another webinar coming up at the top of the hour, so I've got to get that rolling here in just a second. But one of the other secrets is that let's see, now I just derailed my thought. All right, maybe it'll come back to me. All right, let me keep reading here. Alan says, name your appointment, strategy session, assessment, etc. Susan says, I usually think of opt-in forms in relation to accessing content. It's different for me to think about it in terms of an appointment setting. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is a different one. And it, you know, I'll just say about the opt-in forms for generating appointments, I don't do it myself. I have seen other people do it, like one of my competitors in the local area does it. Now, hers is different. I'm not sure exactly how she's doing this, but she has an opt-in form, and she actually gathers – she has like 10 questions on there. So it's almost like a – I would call it a survey, but she's doing it on an opt-in form. And I think that's probably dependent on the system that she's using. It gives her the capability to gather that information. So that is a possibility. Alan says PowerPoint presentation critique could be an appointment. Alan said, when you talk on the phone, build trust and rapport. Yeah, I think when you're talking on the phone, it will naturally build trust and rapport, but I think you also have to be intentional about building trust and rapport. One of the ways that you build trust and rapport is caring about people, you know, asking questions. It's also paying attention. Like, I have a lot of recurring appointments with people. I keep track. Every time I have a conversation, I take notes. I take notes on paper, and I add notes into a Google Doc. And I'll go through and review those notes. And so when I get on the phone with somebody, I might refer to something from a prior conversation. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was something about a family member, whatever it is. So I think, you know, when you're talking to people over the phone, don't just treat that appointment like as a standalone appointment. Take it as a series of calls that you've either had over time or that you're having over time, and you want to come to that call prepared and knowledgeable about the other person. Easier said than done, but that's what I recommend. Alan says, present benefits in an appointment and make an offer of a product or service. Roy said, tie your offer to your appointment's theme. Yeah, good point. Tie that offer back in. In fact, what I would recommend, I start with the offer, and then I come up with the appointment. Alan says, if the appointment is about LinkedIn strategy, offer LinkedIn training program. Right. Perfect tie-in and connection there. Susan says, okay, I have a new plan for appointment setting and lead gen. I'm going to post a strategy each week and vary the focus. I'll share it on social media and also to my email list. I'll probably only offer 3 sessions per week. Awesome. I love that idea. Great job, Susan. That's got a nice personal flair to it. It's a unique idea. And that could be very interesting. So, notice she's also using scarcity, which is something that I use in my appointments too. Oftentimes when I send out the appointment setting email, I will limit it to about 10 sessions. So good thought there. Alan says, have a variable offer ready for your appointment. Yeah, so you can either have a fixed offer or you could have a variable offer. Maybe you got like 3 different options in your hip pocket, and then depending on what their needs are, then you pull one of them out and share it with them. Susan says, this week I'm going to offer a free strategy session to review your images and layout for an ebook. Since I've been working on mine, it is very fresh in my mind and a good place to start. All right, Susan, so here's the thing. Since you came up with something specific like that, I immediately thought that would be a great opportunity to share in my Amazing Authors Facebook group. So I have an open Facebook group for authors. That's a perfect offer you could share there. So we should connect up through Facebook Message and come up with a concept around it. But one of the things we could do is I could share it in the group and let people know about that. So once you have that piece set up, then I could share that and give people an opportunity to schedule that if you want to do that. But see, that's what happens. When you get very specific and focused around a specific appointment, suddenly doors start to open. Lori says, variable offer, one of multiple offers. However, the confused buying doesn't buy. Yes, don't like overwhelm them with options. Like, here are 3 different products, and each one has a different pricing program, and you can pay, have a full pay or a payment plan or whatever else. Going to be too confusing. Keep it simple. I just share one offer, and maybe, you know, maybe it's there's a full pay option and a payment plan option with it. Okay, hang on a second. I need to kick off my webinar. So let me get that rolling, and then I will keep reading comments here. Have to do a little multitasking here. This is one of my busy days where I'm doing 3 trainings today. Okay, let me hit start on that. Okay, that one's rolling. Okay, coming back to the notes here. Susan says, welcome, Lori. Alan says, determine what would be a good fit for someone. Ask probing questions. What are their needs? Yeah, that's a good one, probing questions. Think about what questions you can ask that will help to gather details about your potential client. Alan says, opt-in form. Where will you put it, a squeeze page or your website? If you qualify, if you want to qualify people, give them a link to a survey. Yeah, it's always a good idea. If you want to gather some information in advance, then create a survey for that. I like the survey idea. Lori says, creative, lunch selection tool. Yeah, you know, it just hit me. I was like, if I wanted, because part of my goals this year are to spend a little bit more time with people, like, more like going out speaking to groups, but also to do some one-on-one meetings as well. I'm seeing a trend where people want to connect more individually. I think we went through a period of time after 2008 where people just kind of cocooned and just wanted to do everything online, and I think we've reached a point now in 2015 where a lot more people are wanting to get out and connect with people. So I'm kind of starting to open myself to that possibility as well. And those aren't sales conversations typically. Those are more like, you know, friendship conversations, business conversations, looking for ways to partner together, things like that. Alan says, leverage technology to save time, and how do you follow up? Susan says, I don't use lead pages, but I do know a lot of people who do it. I think they will host your opt-in form for you, so you don't even need to set up your own web page. One point about that, I have heard that some companies that are doing Facebook ads that drive to a lead pages page are being, I've heard a couple of instances where Facebook has shut down their Facebook ad account because the lead pages page is coming up as being, not so much potential spam, but just an issue. And so anytime you're doing anything where you're sharing something with somebody else, that's a risk versus if you're just driving to your own website. You're typically going to have less of an issue if you're driving to your own website versus using a communal website where there's, you know, thousands of people that have opt-in pages there. So just something to note there. All right, that's the end of the call today. So thanks for joining me. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.